Very happy to be joined by our next guest, Scott Miller, national baseball columnist for Bleacher Report. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Ben. How are you? Nice to be with you and JB.
Yeah, likewise. So it was a great start to yesterday's game. Really, really exciting. It took a long time to play, and I felt like as soon as the Yankees took the lead there, it was fait accompli because that bullpen's so good. And we were just talking about it last segment, Scott, how I feel like that gives the Yankees such a tremendous advantage. And I know they're going to play the Indians, who also have a great bullpen, but I think the Yankees is even deeper, and they didn't even use Betances yesterday. What do you make of my Yankees as a team that can win the World Series going forward?
Yeah, you know, they certainly can. I think there's, there's as little parity as there was during the regular season in this game. And by that, I mean only five American League teams finished with winning records. All five of those are in the playoffs. Everybody else was below 500. It was just a weird, weird year where there were a handful of very good teams and a whole lot of teams that just were either mediocre or bad. So as little parity as there was during the regular season, I think there's great parity in the postseason. The handful of really good teams are all there. And among them, I don't know that there's one or two that is head and shoulders above everybody else and the favorite. That said, I do think Cleveland is the best of the lot in baseball. But to your point, the Yankees bullpen can neutralize that. And the Yankees certainly could ride it out to the World Series. I don't think there's any question. For me, the big question is going to be the so-called baby bombers, the guys like Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez and Greg Bird and even, Luis Severino, how they respond to the October spotlight. Obviously, last night, Severino did not perform well, but the rest of them did. And, that's going to be one of the fun things that will be revealed along the way over the next week.
First of all, Ben was not saying the Yankees can win the World Series. That is very much in play, of course. He was saying he believes that they are now the favorites.
I didn't say they're the favorites. They're my favorites. I'm picking them to win.
Sorry.
Or picking them to
win. You're picking. He just couched that take so hard when you came on a respectable basis. That actually was more offensive to me.
Is that right?
Yeah. Because now I feel offended because he felt comfortable to share that opinion with someone who I guess he doesn't believe he respects as much. Because when you came on, he was like, let's get into the nitty gritty of this. Let's not actually.
I'll go on record with Scott as well.
Okay.
I'm picking the Yankees. Okay, Scott? I'm sorry. I didn't realize my words would be so parsed.
Anyone can win this. It's Major League Baseball's play. It's the playoffs. Like, that's kind of what makes baseball playoffs so great. Anybody can win.
I love it, JD, that you're calling out Ben here. Anytime I can, be an accomplice to stirring things up a little bit, I'm happy to do that. I'm glad you called him out, JD and Ben. Mm-hmm. The Indians remain the favorites.
Nice. Agree. Okay. Speaking of Cleveland, though, do you think that they're maybe overthinking a little bit with the starting Trevor Bauer move? Because right now it feels like unconventional thinking has taken a big boon because Brian Kenny had his start the relievers in the wild card game.
Well, and he got lucky there.
So what? It happened. And now everyone probably looks at it and says, no ideas are bad ideas. Like, that's kind of the position we're in right now. And now I gotta say, after watching that happen, I don't hate Cleveland's move as much. That said, I probably, if I get to be the manager of this team, I'm immediately putting in my best starter. I'm putting in Corey Kluber. But do you think that it's an overthink, or do you like the logic behind the move?
Well, I think it depends on how it plays out. I think it's one of those things in baseball where if it works, Terry Francona is going to look like a genius, just like he did last year for all those unconventional bullpen moves especially with Andrew Miller. It's one of those things where if it backfires and the Indians go down one game to none and then Corey Kluber scuffles a little bit in game two, then, it's going to look like overthinking. Now, it's easy to second guess once we get into that, and that's what we're all going to do. What's going to happen is, like I say, I think by game two we're all going to be, hey, Francona was a genius or Francona overthought. I like the move for a couple reasons. One, I trust Terry Francona. This guy is proven time and again over the past decade plus that he's one of the best there is in the game. Nobody knows his players and his personnel more than Terry Francona. So the two reasons I like the move, one, trusting Terry Francona. Two, it does set the Indians up. Corey Kluber, by going game two, if there is a game five, he's on full rest, perfect rest. And within that, it sets up the Indians' bullpen because theoretically, when Corey Kluber starts, he's going to go deeper in the game. You're not going to need to lean on the bullpen as much. So by going Trevor Bauer game one, I think Francona's acknowledging it's also going to be a bullpen game, you know, hopefully for his sake. I know he's hoping not like yet last night for the Yankees where they got to bring the bullpen in game in the first inning.
Yeah.
But you go Bauer and bullpen guys, and then what happens is if Kluber gives your bullpen a blow in game two, then you've got an off day. So by game three, you've got a very well-rested bullpen again. So I think it makes sense for all of those reasons.
Scott, what do you think the Yankees do with Severino now that he had that clunker, that he looked so just, I don't know, just shaken by the moment, that he couldn't handle it, that there's only one conclusion you can come to after watching him yesterday, but he was so good during the regular season, and certainly he's going to be given another start. But when is it? Because he only threw 29 pitches yesterday. Like, I guess in theory you could start him in game one against the Indians. I can't imagine they'll do that. I don't know. Do they want to start him on the road in game two, or do they want him to start back at home in game three? What do you think they do?
Well, I think maybe they start him at home in game three. That's a good question. The other thing that I think is bothersome with Severino, and I'm certainly not ending his season or anything close, but again, looking at, as I mentioned, the whole key to the deal to me for the Yankees is what I said at the outset, and that is how the so-called baby bombers respond to the moment. Now, where Severino's concerned, there are a couple issues there. One, was it a simple case that he was overwhelmed by the moment? If it was, that taste of it, and the fact that the Yankees got away with a win, you know, maybe that helps Severino. I mean, maybe his next outing, he's like, you know, boy, I dodged a bullet. Now I know what October's like, on and on and on. So it still could work out fine for him and for them. But another reason that could be cause for concern is Severino going in. He's at about 40-some innings beyond his season high for innings. So you also begin to wonder, is he going to run out of gas? Is he going to be fatigued? And that could be an issue as well.
Talking to Scott Miller, national baseball columnist for Bleacher Report. So speaking of starting pitchers, I'm interested in seeing their postseason debut. Chris Sale didn't exactly look like the super dominant Chris Sale at times down the stretch during the regular season. And we've seen incredible regular season starters not make the transition to the postseason as well as they would have liked. Guy on his same team, David Price, who's going to pitch out of the bullpen. Clayton Kershaw has had moments, but still, there's a bit of a question mark hanging around him when it gets to October. How confident are you, Scott, that Chris Sale will be unfazed by the bright lights of October?
Well, you bring up another very good point, and that is, and it kind of dovetails a little bit with my point on Severino a little bit ago about going where he's never been before in his career. Sale, as you pointed out, he hasn't pitched in the playoffs with the White Sox. He never could get there. Here as a starter, as the top dog on Boston's staff, he's going to go deeper and deeper into October. And again, physically, can he hold up? Mentally, can he hold up? I would expect the answer to both of those questions is going to be yes. But, you know, the other thing, it's interesting, the matchup tomorrow in game one, Verlander and Sale, which I think any of us that really love baseball cannot wait for this matchup. It also features the two pitchers who threw the most pitches this summer. Verlander threw more pitches than anybody in the majors at 3,531. Sale checks in second at 3,428. Sale's last outing, and really his last 2 months, were a little less even than his first half. His last outing wasn't good at all. So you wonder if all those strikeouts that, he led the majors in strikeouts at 308, you wonder if that, the second most pitches thrown, the fact that he's not accustomed to pitching in October, you wonder if all of that is going to catch up with him. So, we'll get an answer pretty quick after, tomorrow when we see how he fares in his, clearly probably the biggest start to date of his career.
Yeah, I just feel like if I'm a Red Sox fan, I can't be worried about Chris Sale right now. Like, if I'm looking
just like
at this,
you couldn't have been worried about David Price.
No, but I guess I am
or
speaking
Clayton
out of both
Kershaw.
Sides of my mouth. No, but I'm not worried about Clayton Kershaw. And you and I disagree in terms of whether or not he's already gotten over that hump and whether or not he's gotten rid of that whole
narrative
that he couldn't be good in the playoffs. Like, that's done. I think if you trust me, if you give me one option, you're saying, hey, who are you going to pick for one start in the postseason? It's between Kluber and Kershaw, like, immediately. So I'm past that. The Severino one is interesting because, I think that you have to go with him on the road because putting him back in that same atmosphere that he was in before where everybody, it could be a must-win game. You might be down 0-2. Even if you're 1-1, it's still the same thing. Like, the pressure's still all there. I can't imagine putting him there. Ben and I were kind of kicking this around, not to keep going back to the Yankees, but do you feel like they're as hated as they have been in years past? Like, they don't feel like the evil empire to me. Like, I couldn't help but be rooting for them yesterday. And normally I was thinking, man, I'm always behind like a Twins team, especially since they've been tortured and they're underdogs. Like, I think they've now been ousted 5 of the last 7 times to the Yanks. But they're just a fun young team. And you mentioned the Baby Bombers. Like, who doesn't like Aaron Judge? He was probably the most interesting story of the entire season this year. I just feel like there isn't the same Yankee hate as there has been in years past.
No, I would agree with that. I think it's because the cast of characters has changed. You know, first of all, everybody's number one villain, A-Rod, is no longer with the team. Derek Jeter, Yankee fans love. There got to be a point in his career where other people kind of rolled their eyes at Derek Jeter, and they were like, he's, especially the analytics people, they loved to say Derek Jeter's not as good as everybody says he is. And I think the fact that, after a while, anything gets weird. Anything wears on people. Like, last year, everybody loved the Cubs, right? This year, they're just kind of another team. And I guarantee you, in a couple more years, if they keep returning to the playoffs, eventually, mm-hmm. baseball fans outside of Chicago are going to be rolling their eyes. They're going to be like, oh, my gosh, we got to watch Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant again. And that's, it's gotten that way, I think, with the Yankees. But the fact that there's this whole new cast of characters, I don't think there's the antipathy toward the Yankees that there once was. And real quick, by the way, while we're talking, mm-hmm. to your point about Severino starting at home or on the road, his splits this year, he's much better pitcher on the road. But, he's 6-1 in away games, 15 road starts, 6-1, 2.24 ERA. In 16 home starts, 8-5, 3.71 ERA. So his ERA is one and a half runs lower on the road than at home.
Yeah, see you in game two, kid.
Yeah, it's weird how that works. It's also weird how just the playoffs are a different thing for certain people until they're not. Like Johnny Cueto dropping the ball in the wild card game in Pittsburgh, right, and having a clunker, and then the win going 8 innings, giving up 1 earned run in game one of the DS against the Cubs. So, yeah, you can change it in a hurry, but it does feel like early in your postseason career, it's not totally uncommon to have a clunker like Severino did yesterday. I'm excited to see if the same can be said about Chris Sale. Scott, thanks for this so much. Good to have playoff baseball back in our lives.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, it is. That Diamondbacks-Rockies will be a lot of fun tonight, and mm-hmm. then it'll be off to the races in the 5-game series starting tomorrow. Can't wait.